the Worldwide Tivoli Sales Enablement Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now we'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Toni Hodge. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks, Jody. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining today's Think Thursday. The topic of today's call is financial sales tools for business partners. Some of you may have already downloaded the slide presentation, and you can follow along with me, and I will give you an indication of which slides we're moving to as we go throughout the presentation. And hopefully, if you're not looking at the slides, we'll be clear enough that you'll get the information just by listening. So if I move to, first of all, let me introduce myself. So I'm Toni Hodge, and I'm responsible for Tivoli Worldwide Sales Enablement, specifically for Enterprise Asset Management, our Maximo portfolio, and also for financial selling or ROI. So if moving to slide two, what we'll talk about during the call today is the importance of business value selling with our clients, a little bit about the impact of the economic situation that we're facing and why it is so important. We'll talk about some of our success factors that we've seen in this financial selling approach. We'll take you through a third-party tool that we actually use as part of our financial selling with our clients and the process for following that approach. We'll then go into a brief overview of what the tool looks like, some of the screens, and how to get you started, and then we'll have an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end. So moving to slide three, we are finding that significant opportunities, and even as significant as over $50,000, are requiring business justifications. And in some cases, our clients, we're seeing them more and more come to us to say that they need to financially justify the purchase before they can move forward. So they need our help to do that because this is not the only project that they're working on. And when I talk to customers, I find that they really don't have the resources internally to be able to do this and that they really do need our help. So this is an opportunity for us to differentiate ourselves from our competitors and also show additional value with our clients. I mentioned the economic stresses that we're experiencing today that we have been for the past year or so throughout the world. And so helping a client justify a purchase and showing them a return on their investment is even more important at this time. As you can see on the bottom of slide three, Sam Palmisano, our CEO, has given us a quote, and he's talking about, you can read that as I go along, but he's talking about the importance of giving clients tangible value. So in other words, are they able to see an increase in savings, financial savings, something that's tangible, not intangible, as an example of our employees are happier. That would be an example of intangible value. But we're really looking at showing people in black and white the financial value that they can get from this kind of an opportunity. So if I move to slide four, we talk again about the importance of being able to have a financial discussion with a client. More and more CIOs and CEOs and CFOs are under pressure to show value to their stockholders, to their boards of directors, and to their employees. And being able to have a documented case where they can show that this was the project, this was the value that they were expecting, these were the objectives that they were trying to achieve with this project, and then being able to show that this is the success that they've seen gives them more credibility and helps them provide for more future opportunities and get agreement to move forward with those opportunities. I mentioned also about competitive pressures. A lot of our competitors have the same approach or can have the same approach, and I think it's up to us to lead that and be the first one, if we can, to bring this up with a client. Sometimes it's not in our comfort zone to talk about a financial justification. We worry that it would expand the sales cycle, and obviously we're all under pressure to close deals on a timely basis. But we're seeing time and time again that as we have these conversations, they really are differentiating us from our competitors. On slide five, one thing that I'm learning, and it's a little bit different with business partners, I have found in working with business partners versus our internal sellers is that the business partners, in many cases, are already at a higher level within the organization, at a director level or a C level. And sometimes the challenge that I see with our sellers is that we're still at the project sponsor position or the IT staff position. And we struggle with how to raise that conversation and get higher in the organization. And we know that many of our competitors do that more frequently than we do. Well, having a financial discussion and having tools to back up that financial discussion helps us get to the higher level within the organization because we're able to talk about total cost of ownership, return on investment, and those are two areas that get the C-level's attention and give us credibility so that they approve the project, and then they usually will say to speak to their project leads where we're already sanctioned to move forward in the project. So, again, this is an opportunity to have us call higher in the organization. On slide six, some of the challenges that we see around business value, I've already mentioned a couple, but we'll go over. It's easy for us to focus on product and technology, more so than it is to talk about financial focus, where we want to talk about tape drives, or we want to talk about monitoring the network, or we want to talk about identity or application access or asset management, because those are our comfort zones. But when we can take those products and move them into by a financial discussion, so for example, if we can say that we'll be able to reduce one tape drive for a client by consolidating and saving them X, that all of a sudden turns into a financial discussion, and we've just done it just in that simple example. And so sometimes we make it more complicated than it has to be. The other thing we find is that we feel that it's going to be very difficult to get the data from the client. One thing that I'll talk about later in the presentation is the reason that this business value assessment tool has been so successful for us is that, A, you'll see that it's a third-party tool, so it's not something that is subjective to IBM's thinking, and that also the success of it really depends on client data and not necessarily industry-specific data. But going into it, we hesitate because we automatically assume that the client's not going to want to give us that data or they're going to be busy. So when we get to the process piece of this, we'll talk about how important it is to understand the process and build in the right timeline in order to get that client input data. So we have to get rid of that connotation that it's going to be hard to get. The client is going to be willing, if it's a valid project, will be willing to give us that data and work with us. Sometimes we think about the benefits that we talk to about the client from implementing the project are going to be difficult to quantify. Well, again, that's the benefit right there of doing an analysis like this, because the benefits will be agreed to between you and the client, and they'll be documented. So when you go after the fact to present the report or in the future refer back to the report, if the client has any objections, it's more difficult for them to stay with those objections, because your answer will always be to remind them that you work together and that it's their data and that these are the benefits that they agreed to. And the other thing will be, this is something we just had our Pulse annual user group conference a couple of months ago, and I talked to a lot of clients, and it is surprising to me still how many clients, as big as some of them are, still don't have a financial modeling resource or tools. Many of them will use spreadsheets or, you know, just a quick calculator, and they were very open to having a discussion like this with us. Another challenge is our own apprehension to move forward and talk to the client, because we think that they won't want to have this discussion. And I can tell you, based on the discussions that I had with the clients at Pulse, I didn't have anyone tell me that they weren't interested, and it was as simple as just talking to them about how are you measuring or how do you plan to measure the financial impact of the Tivoli solution to your business, and you'd get a kind of a blank stare, and a lot of answers were, you're right, we know we need to do it, but we don't have the tools or we don't have the people. And so then the follow-on comment becomes, well, if we had a tool that could help you, or we had resources that could help you, is that something you would be interested in? And across the board, everyone said yes. So that's something that we're working on internally with some of our clients. And so the point is you should not be skeptical or apprehensive that your clients won't want this. They will. And, you know, maybe not everybody will, but definitely I would approach them, and it's a simple conversation. So that's a little bit about the background, about why this is important and why we should turn our selling from product and technology into more of a financial. Let's talk a little bit then about what a one of the tools that we use to accomplish this. So this is called the IBM Business Value Analyst Tool. It's developed by a third party. The third party company is Alinean out of Orlando, Florida. And the Alinean company was formed by a group of Gartner employees. And we IBM, has been working with Alinean for more than 10 years. All of our software group brands are working with Alinean in some way using their tools and their templates. We'll focus, obviously, today on the Tivoli portion. In the for the sales tool that we'll be talking to you about, our IBM sales teams have access to it, as do all of you as business partners. If you are part of Partner World, your agreement then allows you to have access to this tool, and we'll give you instructions later on in the presentation on how to get access and how to begin. So I'm moving to slide 8, and we'll talk about a little bit about what goes into a business case, and then you'll see the output of it. So this business case is an opportunity for you to add specific information about every individual client. And one of the things that we see having success, and the reason that we've been so successful, is that one-on-one interaction with the client, so that when you create an executive summary that will go into the end result, that executive summary is based on the client, their goals and objectives, and their current situation and what they're trying to accomplish with your project. You'll actually key in the project objectives into the tool so that the client can see, in black and white, the scope of the project and what you're talking about. You'll also be able to include team names and sponsor names so that as the assessment gets moved within the organization, you'll be able to show not only your company names and team members, but also the client's team's members that you've worked with, and it just gives you more of an acceptance when you go forward. You'll be able to have a section in the analysis that shows recommendations of our solution based on what the client is trying to achieve, and also a roadmap if you so choose. Now, there are two pieces that, well, as you input them into the tool, actually will make up the financial analysis. And those pieces are obviously the financial investment of the project and also the implementation plan. So how long is the implementation plan? What is the effort? What kind of resources? And another thing that I like, and this is something that you will get from working with your client on this specific task, is to identify project risk. So if at the end of the analysis and the exercise you come up with a return on investment of, let's say, 400% return on investment in 2 years, well, if we know that in order for this project to continue, the client has to get approval for additional funding, or they have to be selected in some other project that they're working on, you can actually build that in to the analysis to show that there is a risk here, we're noting it, and that this is the actual risk. The benefits and value statements I mentioned a little bit early on, where we talk about direct benefits, so cost savings from maybe hardware or materials or people, being able to redirect a certain number of employees, full-time employees, from one project to move them to another project so that they can be more effective for the company. That's an example of a hard benefit. Again, I mentioned earlier, an indirect or soft benefit will be improved employee morale, employed customer satisfaction. And you'll decide with your client whether to include indirect benefits or not. You'll have that option. The other thing that you'll want to do with the client while you're working on it in the very beginning stages, and this could even be a way to open up the discussion, is to understand what is the client looking for in terms of a return on investment? Are they looking for a financial return on investment so that it's something that helps them either save money or make money? Or are they looking for a productivity return on investment? Are they looking for a market share return on investment? Some clients will even say that the time to return on investment is more important than the financials. So they may say to you, I need to have a payback in 6 months on this project or we can't move forward. So those are some of the things that you'll need to take into consideration and have the conversation early on with the client so that you'll build that into your case and you'll understand how to move the project forward. If we move to the next slide, slide 9, IBM uses a sales methodology called client value method. Some of you may have seen this methodology if you've been in our enablement sessions in the past. But what it is a five-step sales methodology that takes us through identifying an opportunity all the way through closing it and implementing it and going back and confirming with the client that the application or the solution that they worked with us on is meeting or exceeding their expectations. A lot of times we miss that step. That step is more important than we think because sometimes that step it gives us the opportunity for future purchases and future projects. And so we have to always remind our sellers and our business partners to go back in, and even after the implementation, that is still an opportunity for us. The point on this slide, though, that I want to make is that earlier in the sales cycle is when you want to start to have this discussion. For many reasons. Obviously, it helps us validate the opportunity that we're working on, and if the client is really not interested in doing this with us, maybe this is an opportunity where we shouldn't spend our time and move to another project with another client. So it does help us qualify opportunities. It also gets us, as I said earlier, access to the C-level. The other thing that it will do is, even though I said sometimes we hesitate to have this approach because we think it's going to lengthen the sales cycle, it can, in fact, shorten the sales cycle because at the end of it, when the client sees the payback that they could achieve with your solution, sometimes they will move it forward. We've actually seen clients get funding that they were telling us in the beginning they didn't think they would have, but after working with them on a business value assessment or a BVA, it's amazing how they'll find the funding. So in those cases, it helps us to accelerate the deals. The other thing that it does, and we've seen this time and time again, is when you have a financial document in front of the customer, it will help you to overcome those objectives around further discounting. On slide 10, that slide builds out, and I'm just going to go ahead and build it out for you. This talks about a five-step process to BVA tool and how to do an analysis with a client. And as I said, the first is to position the ROI assessment with the client. So have the discussion with them. Do they need a financial justification? Oftentimes they'll tell you in the beginning that they don't think they do. But when you have this discussion, they will end up realizing, you know, maybe this will help me. And then sometimes it doesn't help necessarily through the purchase, but to go back, as I said, and do future projects with us. So the very important step for you to identify in the beginning is who your ROI sponsor will be. Oftentimes that can be your project sponsor, but it may be other people within other organizations. And you'll get agreement with this sponsor to work through this process with you to the end and afterwards. At this point, you'll then have a discussion with that sponsor on our approach and the methodology and what they can expect. As you move forward, you'll do what we call an interview with the project sponsor. Now, the interview process is to have a questionnaire completed that is very specific, and this is where I talked in the beginning that the more successful you'll be is to be able to give more specific data relative to that client into the questionnaire. And again, this questionnaire is something that you can either work through with your project sponsor, but in many cases, what we've seen through our interactions is that we'll give the questionnaire to the sponsor and then agree to a timeline as to when that questionnaire will be completed, because there's a lot of financial data that you're going to be requesting from that client that a lot of times the project sponsor will not have. So they'll have to go to accounting. They may have to go to some of their purchasing people. They may have to go to their executives to get some of the information. And in this case, we think that this interview process has taken about a two-week window for you to be able to build into your project to expect to get it back completed. And again, the more specific the data is in the completed questionnaire, the better your analysis is going to be. So that will be the interview process that you work with your sponsor. The next step is, once you get that completed questionnaire, you're going to sit down with the tool and begin inputting that data. You'll then input around the implementation, the cost, the time frame, the type of implementation resources that you think you'll need, and then this will generate a report for you, the end result analysis. Now, it's really important that before you take that analysis to the project sponsor, that you conduct an internal interview. And it's almost like a mock meeting that you would be having with your sponsor. And what this does is it gives you internally an ability to catch any mistakes or play through how that meeting with your sponsor is going to turn out, and give you the ability to project any objections that you might get, and also refine some of your key selling points or strategies with the project sponsor when you present the analysis. So once you conduct that internal interview, it's time to meet with your project sponsor and validate that the data he or she has given you, along with what they've gotten from their internal team, meets expectations, that they can agree with it, and that it's at a point where they're ready to present it to their company. Now, in many cases, I've talked with other business partners who have said, you know, sometimes we'll get a really, really aggressive return on investment, so that when we meet with our project sponsor, the reaction is a little bit surprising or hesitant. And what they're able to do is, instead of coming back and revising the entire analysis and taking time, and potentially there is a case where you might elongate the sales cycle, they'll agree with the sponsor that, you know, when you present the ROI, don't necessarily present the 4,000% return on investment. You know, cut it in half or cut it in thirds and present that to your organization. And sometimes the sponsors are very comfortable with that. If they're not, and if you agree that there are some changes that should be made, you'll make those changes, generate a new report, and then you're ready to present the ROI to the management board. In some cases, you'll be given the opportunity to be included in that presentation. In other cases, your project sponsor will do that for you. So that's why it's important that every step of the way you're in agreement with your project sponsor, and that you're able to have answered any questions or remaining items for that project sponsor, because many times they're only going to get that one opportunity to present the analysis and the ROI to the management board. So it's really important to prepare your project sponsor if you're not going to be in that meeting. Once that meeting happens, or even prior to that meeting, it's important to get agreement with the project sponsor as to what will happen following the meeting and what we would need to do in terms of acceptance criteria so that we can move the project forward. Sometimes it's nothing more than a checkbox to say, okay, we have it, we're going to put it in a drawer for now, or they may actually use it for further presentations. So the next slide, slide 11, is just an example of some feedback that I had gotten personally from a business partner, where we did a BVA enablement session back in the back in August timeframe last year, and he's actually told me that since using the BVA tool for their financial selling and their ROIs, that they have been able to speed up the deals, and their entire team is working with the tool now. Before they used the tool, they used an Excel spreadsheet. He happens to also be an accountant, so he created an Excel spreadsheet that they were using to do ROIs with their clients, and they're no longer using that spreadsheet. They're using the BVA tool, and they are seeing a lot of success with it. So I just wanted to give you just an example that we know that it is working. So some next steps that you can take, there is a very comprehensive, very easy to understand training video that's available to you. There is a lot of supportive collateral, including reports that you can see, sample reports in case you wanted to even show some of those to your prospects and your clients. There are white papers, and a lot of this is available to you on Partner World. And, you know, the next step after that would be don't hesitate. Commit to doing your first customer business value assessment. One of the recommendations that we like to make is to when you use your first assessment, work with a client that you have a very good relationship with that might not be such a high risk, so that you can get an understanding and a sense of where the tool has been effective, what you would do differently, and how you would approach it with a more significant opportunity. There are a lot of resources available to you, as I said, on Partner World. You'll see that. I'm on slide 13. To be able to register and have access to the tool, it's as simple as sending an email to roi@us.ibm.com. And for assistance, I've listed myself, my team member, who I'll turn over the presentation to in a minute, Cy Englert, Jim Lee, and Renee Ferguson. We're all part of the business value assessment team for Tivoli, who are available to help you with this. So at this time, I would like to turn it over to Cy Englert, and we're going to move to slide 15, and he'll actually take you through some screenshots as to what you can expect. Cy?
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate that. The purpose of the next few slides is simply to show you how simple it is to create what we call a concept or initial ROI. It's that first pass of an ROI, perhaps, before you even send it to a customer. And so we're just going to take you through the various screens. And on slide 15, you'll actually see the logon screen. We actually will send you the URL to the online version or tell you how to download a desktop version of the tool when you request your user ID and password. This link that is showing on slide 15 about sign up now will not work for business partners, so therefore, instead, we would like you to send an email to the email address that Tony just mentioned. It's roi@us.ibm.com, and with that ID and password will be all of your access instructions to this tool. After you get your user ID and password, you could use this forgot password link to reset your password at any time on the online system. If we go to the next slide, which is slide 16, as soon as you log on, you'll actually be presented with this screen, which allows you to open an existing analysis that you've been working on, or you can create a new analysis. Within the Tivoli suite of templates is what we call them, there are five templates that are available, and they're basically broken down by software pillars. So there is one specifically for enterprise asset management. There's one for automation, one for security, one for storage. And last year we added another one. Some customers, instead of an ROI, really focus their business on making decisions using TCO. And so we now actually have a generic TCO template that you can use. So in this example, we're going to assume that we're creating a ROI analysis for a Tivoli storage opportunity. In that field just below the place where you can click on the Tivoli storage template, you'll actually enter the company's name. And then at the very bottom near that radio button, best practices is to go ahead and create a folder for every company that you're doing an ROI analysis in, because you can actually collaborate with other users or with me in actually updating these ROI analyses, and that collaboration is done on a folder level. So the recommendation is to click the selected folder and make sure that you've created one for every customer that you're working on. So after you do that, you can click the Create New Analysis button, and all of these predefined benefits that we have created will be loaded into this particular analysis, and then you can now move to the next slide. And my apologies, I think that in the deck that most of you have, the animation has been removed, but there are fundamentally five screens that are important here, and we're going to walk through them verbally just so that you can understand what the different components are. On the slide in the very back of this build-out slide is what is a tab called Solution Selection. And in the storage template, for example, we'll have a list of all of the storage products that have been added to this tool. So you would select one or more of those products. By doing that, you would actually go to a custom-built questionnaire, which is the third tab across the top. And in that questionnaire are those questions that we need to ask the customer, or at least validate the default responses to those questions with our customer. But those are the questions that make up or allow us to compute the return on investment and the quantified benefits. And so the really nice part about the Alinion tool is the Alinion folks are ex-Gartner people. They've done quite a bit of research around this, around the IP industry, and a lot of the defaults that are used in the tool come from Alinion and or the Tivoli product managers. So what we're trying to do is basically give you a starting point, and then you spend the time with the customer validating. As Tony said back on one of those other slides, you actually do a lot of work validating because you really want the customer to own the ROI in the end of the, at the end of the day. So once you complete those questions on the questionnaire tab, you can actually go over to the benefit tab next, and that's the third screenshot in that five-screenshot slide. And what you can see are that that there's at least two or three different groupings of benefits. In this slide that you see here, you'll see IT cost reductions and four quantified benefits. There's also a set of benefits called strategic business strategic advantage that really more impacts revenue. And so we have some indirect benefits that will show up as well. All of these benefits on that particular slide and that are in this tool are predefined. If you're working with a customer and the reason that they're buying the Tivoli solution actually is more specific, you can actually add benefits to this tool. Matter of fact, the IBM software group industry teams and other consultants may start with this template that I'm showing you today, but they'll really focus on building custom benefits into the tool with their customers. So on the benefit tab, we've actually quantified the benefits at that point. And then the fourth tab or the fourth screenshot really talks about the costs or the investments to this. And there's right now there's about 10 different categories of costs. Obviously, the most logical that has to be added would be the software licensing fees. And from that, we can add the maintenance fees as well as, for example, professional services. But there's 9 categories or 10 categories of costs. My experience is the more costs you add to the analysis, the more credible the end result will be because you've taken into consideration all the costs that the customer really will have to expend. So now that we have our benefits quantified and the cost quantified, the last tab, which is showing here in full screen, is the return on investment tab. And as Tony had pointed out earlier, Alinion provides us with about 5 or 6 key ROI metrics, and probably the two most important would be the return on investment percentage itself And most customers really are drawn to a payback period, which is the first and the last metric on the screen. So from that point, you can actually go up to the top right-hand corner and click on Create a Report. And then if you'll proceed to the next slide, you'll see that you'll be presented with both PowerPoint and Microsoft Word options for either creating a presentation, which is typically done at the end of the sales cycle when your project sponsor is going to be presenting that to the ultimate financial decision maker. In the meantime, most people use the Microsoft Word formats, and the one that I recommend to everyone to use is the ROI Project Full Report, because it gives you not only the area, the executive summary, but in Appendix C, or should I say in all of the appendices, you've got all the details, all the data that you've entered, as well as all of the calculations for the quantified benefits and costs. So everything is very transparent. You'll be able to use that report to review and to validate the information with your customer set. So this Microsoft Word format actually produces somewhere on the average of, in most cases, a 30-page report, and the image to the right sort of depicts that. On the next slide, should be the very last slide in your deck, is one of the benefits. And I just wanted to take a few seconds to explain how all of the quantified benefits work within the tool. Fundamentally, this is an example of trying to compute the lost productivity when end users have to wait for a password reset. And certainly our Tivoli Identity Manager product can help reduce that financial exposure or lost productivity exposure. And so here is a fundamental calculation. In the left-hand column, you'll see the different items off of the questionnaire that we would be entering. But the way that the tool works is actually, if you'll focus to the right side, is that we're trying to calculate the cost or the exposure that the customer is experiencing today in the as-if column. And ultimately, after the implementation, we're expecting that those costs or that risk exposure will actually be reduced. And so the difference between the as-is and the to-be column is usually calculated by a percentage. And this is what we call the benefit savings percentage. A lot of people, a lot of customers, a lot of users of this tool often ask where that percentage comes from, and this is exactly what this slide is supposed to articulate, is that we, you know, between Alinion and our development managers, we'll actually provide that percentage, and we certainly are trying to get more and more factual data either from analyst reports or from actual customer experiences to actually put that percentage in there. But the most important thing to remember is that this percentage is truly just a starting point. It is an approximation of the savings that a customer can get, and really through a dialogue of what you've shown the customer through demos or through how you're going to implement the product, you should feel very free to be able to increase or decrease that percentage based upon your work with the customer. And so that seems to be the most important question that comes out when you're using this tool. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time to actually explain that benefit percentage. But I think, and this is the last slide, but I also want to invite any of you that if you have further questions about how to use this tool, please send an email to me directly on the slide that Tony showed you for DVA resources, or you can also send an email to roi@us.ibm.com. It's another email address that I monitor as well. So with that, I would like to go ahead and open it up to questions and answers. So I'll turn it back over to Jody.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please.
And this is Tony again. While we're waiting for questions to queue up, something I wanted to add is we talked earlier in the presentation about being able to use this approach to expand the buying vision with the client. So although you may be working on one specific project with the client and you want to focus on that project and you've done the analysis for that project, as you work on future projects with that client, you can go back in and access the analysis that you've already done and build upon it so that at the end of the, you know, four-year relationship with the client, you've then built a broader solution financial document. And, again, this can have a real impact in terms of financial approval, project approval, and competitive differentiators. So when you have an analysis that you've created, the point is you can continue to build upon that initial analysis to just make a better financial statement for your client.
Kumar Rampura, you may ask your question.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Kumar. How are you?
Doing good. Tony, I have a question from a past experience. We've tried to use the tool, and what's happened is some of the customers for whom we're trying to sell the product, they have maybe an old product of some other company.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've told us is, hey, your analysis looks good if we had nothing. Okay, and we already have something,
mm-hmm.
and we're already seeing some you know benefits, and now we're trying to replace it with a new tool. So I need to understand what is the delta that we get. So that's something that we've faced when we've tried to present the analysis. Do you have any experience how your sellers have addressed that part?
I will address it from a seller's perspective, and then, Sai, if you have any input from the actual tool perspective, that would be good, too. So from a seller's perspective, this is an opportunity where it's important to come into being a competitive differentiator and understanding really the implications of what would the customer experience, what's the financial implications and resource implications to upgrade or enhance that existing solution. So in other words, in the case of, and you know this is my experience so I can talk to it, in the case of Remedy, if a customer is on an older version of Remedy for service management and they want to upgrade, well, that's an entire new implementation. And so it's a very easy discussion to have with the client to say, you're going to have to go through this new implementation anyway and now talk to the benefits of the Tivoli solution and hopefully get them to understand all of the other value, you know, unified platform for both enterprise asset and IT asset management, but find ways to get the client to understand our value that we bring as opposed to staying with an older version. In some cases, though, that you're right. That's what they're bought into. If it's a very big implementation of SAP, you're going to have a hard time trying to replace it. In that case, you're going to want to have a conversation with the client to understand how we can complement and integrate to SAP in that case and show them value from that. Sai, do you have any comments in terms of the tools perspective?
Yes, I actually do. Matter of fact, you really hit upon the importance of that very last slide. There's two ways of doing this sort of upgrade scenario, or actually, when I say upgrade, I'm talking about either you know moving from one version of a Tivoli product to a newer version, and/or moving from a competitive solution to a Tivoli solution. It's fundamentally the way that those savings percentages are actually added to the tool. So we're assuming the customer have little or no automation or key software functionality in that particular area. So we're actually doing our best case benefit quantification around the worst case customer installed environment. And so if a customer has a similar product or one of our old products, you'd simply take that percentage and reduce it because fundamentally the customer is already experiencing some benefits around automation. And so you take that 23%, for example, maybe cut it in half. Once again, that really becomes the art of doing an ROI with the customer because you really want them to buy into whatever the amount of quantified benefits that we're trying to accomplish. The second way to do the very same thing is the second tab, which I did not discuss today, is actually one that's called Current Practices. And it does allow you to give the customer credit for having implemented some of ITEL, for example, and so that you can move their maturity level higher. And the end result of that is actually reducing the quantified benefits to, once again, to account for the fact that they already have some automation or some solution already in place.
Thank you.
And Kumar, if you want to work through a specific case with us, contact me and I'll get you in touch with either Cy directly or both of us.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
You're welcome.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, well, I think we can close the call. I hope that you will try the tool and try the process. And remember, the tool is just one piece of financial selling. If your teams are not comfortable with a financial sales discussion with the client, it could be very dangerous. So there are other ways to make sure that your teams are focused on financial selling so that they understand financial business acumen, how to read cash flow statements and income statements, annual reports from clients, so that they really do have a financial selling picture and they can have that discussion. Otherwise, they'll lose credibility. So this BVA, the business value assessment, is a piece of financial selling, and it is the tool that we use to enable that. So I just want to be really clear. So hopefully you will all sign up for access if you haven't already, and we would love to hear from you to help you work through the process and also to hear some of your experiences. As you're working through the tool, if you also find areas that you think are missing, please let us know that as well, because Cy is responsible for development of the templates. And if it's something that we believe is an important part that is missing, we'll be very happy to add that and make the tool all that better. So thank you for your time, and have a good day.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.